Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I am so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. And if you've been with us the last few weeks, you know that we're in the middle of a two-month series. Normally, I do 1 month and cover a portrait of God that we see in scriptures. But this one is so important, so full, so comprehensive that we're doing 9 broadcasts on it. I think we have 3 more to go. And we're covering 20 takeaways, and we're going to be going to number 13, 14, and 15 today. And in that context, we'll be covering 7 heartwired spiritual gifts. I use animal metaphors to describe these spiritual gifts about what our hearts are wired like in the Lord by His grace. Romans 12 is so clear about this. So we'll look at these 7 motivational gifts in the context of our study of how the Lord is our family pastor. Yeah, He's our family pastor with a heart for children, parents, and all kinds of families. So if you have your Bibles, let me invite you to start making your way over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Then we'll go to Psalm 131, and then we'll go to, Psalm 127. Yeah, so looking forward to that. And as you're making your way to that 1 Corinthians 13 passage, just a quick reminder that all of these 27-minute broadcasts are archived on my website at markpg.org. Very easy landing page there. Just look for the box that says Broadcasts. There'll be other boxes like articles, printable guides on hot topics, videos, 3-minute videos on portraits of God and more. But click on the broadcast box and then click on Portraits of God, and boom, you'll be right there with a list of all of our messages in the last few months that you can catch up on. All right, well, one last thing about that website at markpg.org is that it's all about one thing: helping you hear God. All of those tools are to help you hear God and to help us hear God today. Oh, let's just go before the Lord, as is our custom, and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, thank You so much for the privilege You give us to come and sit at Your feet. I love sitting at Your feet. I love listening for Your heart. And I love sharing the things that I'm learning with my brothers and sisters as well. And so, Lord, as we continue our journey in discovering how You are our family pastor, and You want us to be having a heart of a family pastor to those under our charge, whether they're our bloodline children or adopted children or foster children, whether they're students, or whether they're players, and because we're a coach, or whatever the case, we want to be good stewards of these precious young lives. So thank You, Lord, for being our family pastor so that we can do likewise here on earth. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, we have covered the first 12 of these 20 takeaways. Things like how the Lord wants us to know that families are amazingly varied. That was number one. We talked about how children are a top priority. That's what Jesus said. That's number two. Number three, children are to be seriously protected. Number four, children are supernaturally guarded. Number five, they are joyfully welcomed. Number six, they are closely gathered. Number seven, they are to be cherished for generations. Number eight, children are to be led to bless others. Number nine, they're to be taught as a lifestyle. Number 10, they are teachable and trainable. Two different things. We unpack that. Children are moldable and guidable. That was number 11 out of Proverbs 22. And then last time, we spent the whole time on number 12, children are to be disciplined with wisdom. And we talked about 8 basic reasons why kids disobey. Only one of them is defiance or rebellion. All the others are different things. And so go back and listen to that one to help you take good notes. There are 8 basic reasons why kids disobey. And today, as we cover number 13, 14, and 15, we'll be talking about the 7 heart wirings, the 7 heart-wired spiritual gifts that we all have, even when we were children. So let's get going. Number 13, the Lord, our family pastor, yearns for us to know that children are childlike and childish. Yeah, children are childlike and childish. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 13:11. The Bible says this, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. And of course, we've talked about how we are trained, whether a girl or a boy, and to be men and women of God by doing away with childish things, but not childlike things. So let me tell you the difference. And because we want to make room for childlikeness, but we need to train them out of childishness. So let's talk about that. What is it to be childlike? All the passages that we've been covering that talk about how Jesus welcomed the little children that were brought to him, like in Matthew 19, that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that cool? He wants us to be childlike, that is, very trusting of him as our Father. Childlikeness is that innocence. It's that sense of wonder and trust and questions and learning. That's childlikeness. And boy, the Lord loves to see that in us toward him. A childlikeness that says, Lord, I just want to learn. Lord, I trust you in whatever you say. I'm going to do whatever you say because I know you love me and I love you. That's childlikeness. That's a good thing. Here it's talking about being childish things. Now that's the other side of the coin, how we're born with a sinful nature. We did not have to be taught to be selfish or self-centered or easily upset and demanding. That, you know, we did that as babies in the middle of the night when we were hungry or when we had a poopy diaper, you know, and all. And so that childishness, we want to train them out of that. Whining is a great example. When children whine, I want this. That is the only way that they can take away the captain's hat from you. Be so demanding that you just said, fine, whatever, just take it. Just quit screaming or quit whining. Just here, do it. They just took away your captain's hat, as we talked about in our, I think it was the 4th broadcast, the 4 key stages of parenting. When you are the captain, then later the coach, and later the counselor, and later the consultant. But whining, childish whining. I want this. I want milk. I want the candy. I want it. I don't want to leave right now. I want to stay and play a little longer. And you give into that, you've just made a huge mistake, my friends. You got to train them out of that childishness while at the same time loving on them still and helping to draw out their childlikeness. Oh, I just love that. Well, number 14, as we go on, is that children are to be tenderly weaned. Oh, I love this in Psalm 131, verse 2. Bible says, I have certainly soothed and quieted my soul like a weaned child resting against his mother. My soul within me is like a weaned child. When it comes time to weaning children, literally, from the milk of the mother to being fed regular food, it's a tender time for both mother and child. So it needs to be done tenderly for sure and wean them away gradually. And our souls can get that way. And I love this picture of a child resting against his mother, even when it's weaned. Years ago, when the Lord said it was time for me to leave the church that I'd pastored for 24 years, he said, it's time to leave now. I said, where are you taking me? He said, I'll tell you later. It was the second time in my life that the Lord took me and my wife and family on the journey of Abraham, when God said, all right, leave home, leave what you're familiar with, head that direction, destination to be named later. And I confirmed it with my wife. She prayed, and since it was time, and we did take that faith step for the second time. It's how we got to Fort Myers in the first place, back when he told us it was time to leave Fort Worth, Texas. Well, now he's telling me to leave this church I had planted and move on to the next thing, which he would name later. And in that 3-month period, I call that my upper room experience time. And it was the time I would leaning against the Lord. And I was reading through this after the first few days of leaving our church, not knowing where the Lord would assign me next. And I was racing, in a sense, through this passage and read this. And I thought, oh, yeah, these nursing children, what a beautiful picture. He said, no, no, no. The Spirit said to my heart, back up. It's a weaned child. Oh, is that important? Why would a weaned child rest against his mother? We know why a nursing child would. Oh, we know he or she no longer needs or wants the milk. Must be because he just loves, or she just loves, their mother. And he said, son, I want you to press into me just because you love me during this interim time, this upper room period, until you wait for me to give you your next assignment. Press into me, please only me. Plant seeds that you're available, but press no one. And those were my four P's for that season. Like a weaned child, my soul rested against the Lord. Press into me, please only me. Plant seeds, pressure no one. Oh, I love that. 3 months later, by the way, he opened up a door for me to have the role I have now, overseeing all of our Southern Baptist churches here in Southwest Florida, working with them as a consultant and encourager and all. And what a joy it is to be able just to serve the Lord in this way and to trust him, to do just the right thing at just the right time, and to say just the right thing at just the right time. He tenderly deals with us, and children are to be tenderly weaned, literally, as they're growing up, not just weaned from their mother's milk, but weaned from an over-dependency on mom or dad as they're getting older, because we get to number 15, where children are to be groomed to fly. They're not intended to be with us for the long haul. They're not to live with us once they get older. They're to be launched. They're to fly out of the nest like a mother eagle kicking the young eaglets out of the nest in order for them to learn to fly. Let me take you to Psalm 127, verse 4. Psalm 127, verse 4, a different metaphor than the eagle. Here we have arrows. It says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And of course, we know, blessed are they who have their quiver full. Yeah. So this is talking about how children are in our, under our care for a season, under our stewardship. They don't belong to us. They belong to the Lord. But they're like arrows. They're to be crafted and shaped, bent. You know, they have a bent, you know, and you kind of go with it, you know, when you're crafting an arrow, because you're going to launch them, and you want them to fly straight when you do launch them out there. So how do we craft these children like arrows, knowing that there's a day that they need to fly away from us into their own walk and journey in the Lord in this world? Well, to really properly shape them, craft them, you got to go with their bent. You got to go with their heart wiring. You got to go with their spiritual gifting. So let me just share with you seven heart-wired spiritual gifts. Let me take you to Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And we're going to talk about the seven, listen for them in the passage, but then I'll give you some animal metaphors to kind of help you really get a feel and a picture for what your children are like. Usually we have two dominant heart-wired spiritual gifts, and then the others we have little drips of them, so to speak. Kind of like going to get paint at Home Depot or Lowe's. I'm amazed how you get a base paint, and then they add just a few drops of red or black or brown or yellow or green or whatever, according to the code they have. You know, you go and you pick out some shade of green or blue, and there's hundreds of them, and it has a little code, and then they plug in the code 275-62, and they plug into that little machine, and you watch the little, just little drops of those colors go into the base paint. They mix it up, and boom, you got your seaside green or whatever you chose, or blue. It's amazing. Well, we're that way. And the different assortments, the different degrees of each of these heart-wired spiritual gifts is within us. Usually a base paint, kind of a two dominant ones, and then the others sprinkled in to make us who we are. And you have to know what your child is, what you are, what your mate is, what your friends are, what your mom, your dad, what your boss, what your pastor. I mean, we're all so different. But it's like each of these compositions of gifts have their own language. And if you don't speak the language of the other person's spiritual gift set, you may not be able to communicate. Those languages can be as different as Chinese from our English, you know, or Spanish from Greek or whatever. So let's take a journey. I'm going to do kind of a quick version. By the way, if you go on my website and click on the box that says books, there's a book about unpacked parenting. And in there, you'll have chapters on the four key stages of parenting and eight reasons why kids disobey and these seven heart wiring. So you can order that if you like and get more. We'll go to the website and look for the printed guides. And we have some of those guides, a one-page guide and outline listed there. That's markpg.org. So here we go. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says this, "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, there's one, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, there's another one in his serving. He who teaches in his teaching, there's three. He who exhorts in his exhortation, there's four. He who gives with liberality, there's five. He who leads or administrations, there's six. With diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, mercy is number seven." So let's look at these. I'll give you some little definitions so you can spot each of your kids, what they may have as a heartwired spiritual gift, what you may have, what your mate may have, anybody else that you spend a lot of time with. Be good to know how they're wired so you can learn to speak their language as needed. All right, number one, prophecy. Eagle is the animal metaphor. Prophecy, these are the born leaders. They're the visionaries. And here's the definition. Declares the black and white heart truths of God. Those with the gift of prophecy, the eagle is a big, bold bird, looks mad, you know, scowling and a big beak and these talons, and they can be very intimidating. People with the gift of prophecy, they're very outspoken. They're very decisive. You're in or you're out. You're off or you're on. You're hot or you're cold. And they can intimidate people who don't even realize it. And when they talk, they screech, metaphorically speaking. So they can be overwhelming, but we do need these prophetic types. Yeah. Acts chapter 14, 2 through 6. "Therefore, they spent a long time speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided." Yeah. So the prophet comes in, the John the Baptist or the Peters or whoever, and they speak strongly and boldly, but it can be kind of tough to handle. So understand that. Those born leader types, there's the good side, but then there's the intimidating side. We have to be careful. All right, number two is teaching. By the way, the first three are the extroverts. The last three will be introverts, and the one in the middle is kind of the bridge. So teaching's the next one. The lifelong learner, they're multi-layered in their understanding of the scripture, not just a declaring a simple black and white heart truth. Instead, they do this. They explain the comprehensive biblical insights of God. I use the tiger as a metaphor because tigers eat meat, and the meat of the word, the scripture says, is for the mature. Hebrews 5, 12, and then 14. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk, not solid food. Solid food's for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." So we need those with the teacher type. They're the ones with the outlines. They're the ones with the diagrams, trying to teach them multiple layers of God's truths rather than just a simple truth. There's purpose for both. Of course, those two, the teacher and the prophet, drive each other crazy. One thinks the other's too simplistic and one-dimensional. The other thinks the other is, man, you're backing up a truck of info. We can't possibly grasp it all. But you know what? We have gifts that differ. We need both. We need to appreciate both and speak each other's language. Number three, exhortation. Dolphin's a great metaphor. Why? Those with the gift of exhortation, which means to motivate the body of Christ to apply God's truth. It's one thing to hear the truth of God declared by the prophet, another one to be explained by the teacher, but we need to do the truth of God, not just be hearers only. And these are the life of party people who will encourage, we can do this, come on, we're going to take this hill, man, I'm all in. And they inspire people to go and go and go. Dolphins, these glittery kind of people, they make a splash in life. They're always smiling. Think of a dolphin. They always look like they're smiling and they're swimming and splashing, kind of making a mess. To shift metaphors, Tigger and Winnie the Pooh, always making a mess, but it's because he has this dominant enthusiasm about him. And that's what I love about exhorters, these dolphins. We need them for motivation. Number four is administrations. Ant is the picture that we get in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways, be wise, which having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer, gathers her provision in the harvest. Those are the gifts of administration. Some of your kids, they're very orderly. They're detailed. They look ahead. This is organizing and mobilizing the body of Christ for ministry. We need people who can organize things and get us going. We can be inspired, but we got to get pulled together and organized to do this thing together. So administration, and that can be an extrovert or an introvert to do that. We need those with this gift. Now we get to the introverted gifts, just as important, and there are more of these than there are the first three or four. Listen to this, the gift of service. The gift of service, this is performing tasks backstage for others and for God's glory. They don't like to be at the front in the spotlight with a microphone. They're joyful workers. They love projects. They like doing things privately. They're the ones who like to make the meals for the sick or help people with their lawn if they're elderly or something, or repairs. They love doing behind-the-scenes work. They love to work with their hands. And squirrels are a great metaphor. They gather together the nuts and things, and they're constantly busy. But if you try to pet them or to highlight them, they scurry away. They don't want to be in the limelight. Now, they do want to be appreciated. Do express your appreciation. But just don't, in their minds, make them a spectacle to all the others. Okay, so we have prophecy eagle, teaching tiger, exhortation dolphin, administration ant, service squirrel. Now giving, that's the honeybee. It's distributing the tangible gifts of God to others in his name. They're the ones who love to give stuff away, money or equipment or whatever it is. They love to give. They're generous. They're alert. They're humble. And they, too, like to do things behind the scenes. Now, we're all called to give, but there are those who are particularly wired to give and give generously. And then number seven, it's the gift of mercy. The metaphor is the dove. This is comforting and reassuring others of their high value to God. They are sensitive. They're compassionate. At fellowships, they're the ones who notice the people that are kind of the wallflowers, kind of in the background, the periphery, not engaging much, and they're drawn to them. And they sit up with them, hi, how are you doing? They start talking. Or in a conversation, they can sense when somebody's hurting underneath, but they're trying to, you know, be gracious up front and not wear their feelings on their sleeves. But the mercy gifts, the one with the gift of mercy, the doves, will go and try to find some time with them and see how they're doing. On the side, quietly, gently. Oh, we need them. Now, have you noticed how God tends to put opposites together in marriages? He'll put prophets and teachers and exhortation people, exhorters, the eagle, tigers, and dolphins. That would be more like me, with people that are givers and love to serve and are merciful. The squirrels, the honeybees, the doves. That's my wife. We need each other. We help each other see with each other's eyes that we weren't naturally gifted with. That's why we're better together. And as we were raising our three boys, who are now all married to lovely young ladies, all of their gifts are different. Now we have seven grandchildren between those three families, and they're raising their children, and they're all so different. It's just a joy to watch. All the parents learning to speak each of their different languages. So, for example, my wife had to help me raising our boys. Sometimes I'd speak too prophetically or too much like a teacher to them, an eagle and tiger, and it was intimidating them. Hey, why are you doing it this way? Have you ever thought about this? Yeah, try this. I'd say something like that to me was pretty benign, But she'd take me aside. She said, honey, you just wounded their spirit. Why? I was just trying to help them out. I know you were trying, but you were speaking eagle. And he's a dove, or he was a squirrel. He didn't hear it that way. He was hearing, you're an idiot. You're doing it wrong. Do it this way. And I said, I don't think, I didn't say that. I didn't mean that. But that's what they felt. You have to dial it back. So those with the gift of mercy and giving and service can help those of us with the gift of prophecy, teaching, and his exhortation tone it down on a scale of 1 to 10. Don't speak at 8s, 9s, and 10s all the time. Dial it back to 4s and 5s, especially to those that are squirrels, honeybees, or doves. Well, with the same token, you can flip it. There are times I've had to encourage her, honey, when I said this or said that to you and you got hurt, I didn't mean it that way. I know my intensity level seemed like an 8, 9, or 10, but just trust me, I meant it as a 3, 4, or 5. So we kind of came up with a shorthand thing. Look, honey, pretty much whenever I say something, divide by 2 the intensity level, and that's probably what I meant. And honey, when I listen for you, I'm going to multiply by 2 because they're not going to make big pronouncements as a dove or as a honeybee or squirrel. But if they mention something, it's important, double the intensity. That's probably what they mean. Now, I know there's a lot to cover here, but that gives you a picture of how we are to groom them to fly. Know their wiring. Speak their language. Help them be guided into ministries and professions and relationships that will be balancing for them and helpful for them. Well, Lord, thank you for the privilege of, wow, seeing that children are childlike and childish, tenderly weaned, and to be groomed to fly. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, your family pastor.